Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Hey, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. I'm T. Morris.
And I'm Chuck Tomasi. Didn't we say this was done?
I thought we said it was done, but you know what? Isn't that the luck of it, though, Chuck? The luck of it is that we pre-record all of these episodes. We get them in the can. Everything's good. And what happens? Voicemail.
We love voicemail. I'm not complaining.
Oh, no, I'm not complaining, but I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like that great line from the movie The Godfather 3. Every time we want to get out, they pull us back in. There's no leaving the podcast. Heck, I'm already getting threatening messages from your cohort about the dog days of podcasting. Problem is, I'm working on a Dummies book solo. Let me tell you something. I missed the heck out of you, Chuck.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck. And I'm contemplating one of my own. What's wrong with us?
Okay, so the reason we are here is because Jake Hanrahan. It was in me. It was inside me. I had to get it out. He sent me an email over at tmorris.com, and I don't have my bell. My woman moved my bell. Damn her eyes. Okay, yeah, we'll throw one in here. But anyway, he sent it. There you go. He sent it to tatmorris.com. I forwarded it over to you. And here's what he had to say. He just finished Podcasting for Dummies, and he was very glad he invested in it. Boom. As a burgeoning podcaster, you cleared many things up for me. Thank you. Unfortunately, it left me with many questions. I'm quite tech savvy, so most of the terms in your book made sense to me, but I do feel a little overwhelmed. I'll keep my questions to the point. Now, before we go any further, now that I'm writing Twitch for Dummies on my own, that's something that I've noticed that we tend to do in Dummies books. We throw a lot of stuff at the wall. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
I mean,
better. I mean, at least we don't have a chapter on RSS.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No. But I would say that what we try to do with Dummies books in general, whether it's Twitch or Podcasting for Dummies, is we try to make our books a one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. But in the instance that you feel overwhelmed, what would you recommend that if you were overwhelmed by a Dummies book, what would be your advice to those folks?
About the books in general?
Let's say you've just read Podcasting for Dummies and you're overwhelmed by it. What would you do?
Okay. What would I do? I would start with the basics. Just flat out, you know, get the intro rig. And we've got some equipment that if you want to take a look at it on our website, podcastingfordummies.com, there's a products page. I forgot. There's one of the tabs at the top. I labeled it a year ago and don't remember what it is. But we put some things in there, and it's through the Amazon affiliates thing. So, you know, every little click love is appreciated.
Absolutely.
Start with the basic rig. He says he's got a MacBook, and I've got a couple of thoughts here. I'm a Mac lover as well.
Sure.
But the idea of schlepping along my Mac and a mixer and mics to every interview seems a bit tedious. And
but enough about Michael R. Menengay. What would you do in the situation that?
We mentioned this on one of the other shows. When it comes to podcasting, tedium will kill your enthusiasm, and that will kill your podcast. So keep it light, keep it friendly. I would almost say, you know, get a portable rig, you know, a Zoom H2N or something equivalent to do those.
Zoom H4N, any of the models we talk about.
You can hook up external microphones to those if you wanted to get a couple of easy desk stands and cheapo mics. You'd be amazed. There's your portable rig. Then you get back home and you take that SD card out and you put it in your laptop and away you go. So it's make it light, make it easy. You can start with just hand-holding the thing. I mean, I did a number of interviews with my H2, which has front and back microphones, so I was completely separate tracks. In case one side is a little louder than the other, you can always fix it in post. Now, getting back to if you really, really want to bring your mixer and your laptop and your mics. He mentioned preamps in there too, and most mixers will have what they call phantom power. It's
right.
48 volts to the microphone. Make sure you get the right cables, because I've heard stories of people getting XLR cables that don't carry the phantom power for whatever reason. I must have been lucky through my career. I never had one of those.
You and me both.
But I have heard stories, so be sure if you go to like a music store or something, you say, does this accept and cooperate with phantom power?
Okay. Well, I can honestly say before I got into the podcasters, the original podcasters necktie, the iRiver, I actually hauled around a MacBook. I hauled around two MXL 990s and a preamp, a tiny little preamp that is no longer made. It was the M Audio. I don't know if you remember
that.
Remember that little M Audio USB? Oh my God, that thing was a workhorse. I loved it.
Yeah.
And what I liked about that, I didn't have a mixer or anything, but I basically hooked up the preamp, and then I had the two MXL 990s and
stop right there. You said two MXL 990s. Those are condenser microphones.
Yeah.
And you may have issues with crosstalk. I mentioned this in the book as well, and I preach it wherever possible, because it has killed some of my recordings to have more than one condenser microphone in the same place at the same time.
Well, the M Audio preamp did a really nice job separating both signals.
Okay.
And I also kept the two microphones far enough apart where you could hear the interview subject and you could hear me just fine. And it had that live sound because they were studio condenser mics. They were picking up all the background noise, which I was a sucker for, because that just gives you that live feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, again, you know, apples to apples, you know, tomato, tomato, whatever you want to say, to each their own. And, I was also going to say that if you ever felt overwhelmed by some of the stuff that we talk about in the book, do what Jake did here.
Reach out to us.
Yep. That's write to us.
Call
us. Whether it's at the voicemail, which is 703-791-1701, or pfdauthors@gmail.com, yep. Or hey, you tracked us down at my website, that's fine too, but just reach out to us, because we love talking about this stuff. Now he did say he's planning on doing location reviews. He said you would need two mics, a preamp, and a mixer. Like I said, it depends on the kind of sound that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And I know that preamps tend to work really well for that sort of thing, but that's a lot of stuff to carry around.
Yep.
Now, granted, the Zoom H4N, which we've talked about, and the Zoom H6N, which I know you've got, both of those also double as preamps. So he could, in a sense, plug in the mics and go for it. Now, you mentioned something about crosstalk. Go a little bit deeper into that. What exactly is that?
Condenser microphones are notorious for picking up lots of surrounding information, as opposed to a dynamic microphone, which you pretty much have to chew on to make it sound good.
That's the downside of dynamic mics. Yeah.
But I like that, especially in my studio where I have multiple guests. If as soon as I get out one or two condenser microphones, they start picking up the other person and washing out. It's funny, because I had two of them and I only use them on special occasions when the studio was full. And for whatever reason, everybody else's recording just went to, it sounded like we were recording in another room.
Wow, that's interesting.
What happened? Yeah, I've got this nice $300 dynamic microphone that I'm talking into, and I can't even hear myself. It washes it out. We did a recording, and I know there were a couple of them. We did a recording at Dragon Con, and you know, five people all howling. You know, we were doing a Mystery Science Theater 3000 to an old movie.
Right.
The recording wasn't even worth it. I even had people on separate tracks, but when you all start talking, it's like, whose do you choose? Whose track do you get?
I think where that comes into play is how much space do you have between your guests
across the hotel room. I mean,
you still had that cross signal.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It was the condensers were picking up so much of the other person. Now, if I went in, because they were on separate tracks, I could isolate just when person A is talking and just when person B is talking and get rid of all that background noise. It's really what it was. It was all that background noise washing out the primary track. And But it became I didn't want to do 90 minutes of that. It took me an hour just to get through 10 minutes of this thing. I went, forget that.
And on top of all that, you know, that's the difference, though, between a studio condenser mic and dynamic mics. And we do say, if you don't mind the background noise, if you don't mind picking up that natural ambience of people talking and chit-chat in the background and all that stuff, it's no big deal going ahead and use studio condenser mics. If you want to tone that down, and we did say, when you're on location, try to use dynamic mics because they basically focus on one signal, one person, and the downside is you have to get real close to the mic for it to pick up the signal. So the answer to his first question is yes. He says, as I understand it, two mics, a preamp, a mixer, and then the laptop to GarageBand, or my wife calls it GarageBand.
Again, check with your mixer because I don't think you're going to need a preamp for most microphones and most mixers.
Go ahead. I would actually recommend instead of doing the laptop, the mixer, the preamp, and the mics, take advantage of these expandability of the H4N and the H6N. Get your two mics and then just get the H4N or H6N and use those mics and then go for it. That's what I would recommend.
Yep. I would too. Keep it really, then all it feels like you're hauling around is this little plastic suitcase that measures about, I don't know, 6 by 10 inches. It's not real big. It's got all your hookups. It's got your AC adapter for the thing and your two mics and a couple XLR cables. It would all fit in your backpack or man purse or satchel, whatever you want to call it, very, very easily. And you're ready to go in an instant anywhere. Leave the laptop behind. You're not going to be doing any editing on site. You'll be able to tell immediately. I mean, I'm using an H6 right now as an outboard recorder in our studio, and I can tell the levels are good. The time is going, the red record button is on, the tracks are working. I can tweak the inputs. I can tweak the outputs very, very easily as I go. So headphone jack on there so you can monitor as you go. It really is a good way to go. We seem to be touting the Zoom products. Tascam also makes some wonderful ones.
Right. We should. Yeah, we shouldn't be just showing love to just Zoom. But we're leaning there because that's what we use. And you know, whether it's Tascam, whether it's Zoom, whether it is any of the other wonderful digital products that are digital recorder products that are out there. The other thing you can do is, like you said earlier, just do away with the two mics. Just go with the mics that are on board.
You can do as well. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I got this email while I was at an event called GuardianCon. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, I was doing interviews all weekend for Twitch for Dummies. And all I was using was my H4. H4N. And funniest still, when I put it out there, one of the big names in Twitch that I was interviewing, Dr. Lupo, his eyes got really huge. And I said, don't worry, it's not a taser.
Everybody thinks we see that XY mic cross. You know, yeah. They look like a taser. Those XY pattern microphones look great.
Even the security guard just kind of gave me a sideways look. And I said, trust me, bro, I'm not going to tase him. I swear to God. So his second question, though, was clip-on mic, bad idea for the interviewee. I immediately flashed back to, and I don't even know if they're still in business or not, but there was a fantastic, fan-freaking-tastic clip-on mic that was long enough. It recorded in stereo, but it was able to, but it had two mics to it. And I want to say it was.
You think about the Squid?
The Squid. Yeah. That was the name of it. Yeah. The Squid.
They might still be out there. I haven't checked recently, but yeah. I remember good things about those as well.
Man, that was a beautiful clip-on mic.
It was wired.
It was wired.
If you're going wireless and you're thinking, I'm going to get one of these Sennheiser things that you see, you know, rock concerts wearing or the pastor at my church, they get a little pricey. So, and you're going to need the receiver and la, 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 la. A lapel microphone has a couple of advantages. One, it ensures that your voice is approximately the same distance from the microphone at all times, which is important when you're recording, because if you're using a handheld microphone, people like to gesticulate, and when they make a big gesture, the microphone moves away from their mouth, and now you can't hear them.
Right.
Something that I see a lot of rookie speakers doing.
Exactly. And when you're wired like that, and that was the thing I remember, and I just found it. I actually found it on Amazon of all places, Giant Squid Audio Labs.
Yep.
And they have an omnidirectional microphone. And I was really, really impressed with these guys. But yeah, Giant Squid Audio Lab. So you can go ahead and look them up and see if they still make these things. Now, what I remember before I lost mine, because I lost mine on our trip. Long story. Won't go into it. But the cables were long enough that you could have a good amount of distance between you and the interview subject.
Right.
I think what I remember of the Giant Squid Audio Lab stuff was that it was also very affordable.
It wasn't you know, like $150. It was.
Yeah. I'm looking at one right now, and this one is $50.
That's not bad. Granted, for a pair of microphones. That's
the one microphone. Now, a pair of microphones, I thought it was closer to $99.
Okay. I thought it was, the stereo ones that recorded in stereo. They call it a giant squid because it's got wires that are about 8 feet in either direction.
They have a new website. So let me go ahead and.
Okay.
So unfortunately, it's a terrible name. The website is darren-nemeth.squarespace.com.
That is the official. Put it in here. We'll give him a bell and we'll put it in the show notes.
I would have said go with Giant Squid or something like that, but no, we went with darren-nemeth.squarespace.com. Love you, man. Love your products, but wow, you need to work on that URL.
Bitly that thing for me, will you? Bitly so anyway, squid.
Yeah.
While you're thinking about that, the other thing I want to mention about portable recording, you can do in two ways. One, we mentioned having a microphone. They also act as a microphone. If you are holding it, be aware of handling noise.
Yes.
Because in my H2 comes with what we call a lollipop stick. It's just a little handle that screws into the thing. And now I've got a portable microphone, and I can move it between me and the person I'm interviewing quite easily, almost like you see a newscaster do, or they used to do in the old days. The challenge is the more you handle it, the more you're going to get this kind of thing coming through.
Exactly.
Aware of that. The other option is if you do have different microphones, whatever you attach to this thing, you can set it on the table, but you're going to get a little more distance noise. So it really depends on how you want to do this, unless you go with external microphones and then, set it on a table, obviously, or some countertop surface, wherever you're going to put it. So you're not handling the device, and then clip on the microphones or set those in stands, because there's nothing more devastating than saying, that was a great interview. And then you get back home and you hear... while people are talking and there's all kinds of extraneous noise going, what is that? That's you moving it in your hand.
And I just found the actual name of the product, Podcasting Omni Stereo Microphone. That's what it was. And it was And the reason why we had so much room, it's because it's on a 6 foot cable.
That's what I told you. Yeah, I was close.
You're really close. It was a 6 foot cable. And it clocks in at a whopping, brace yourself, $75.
Woohoo. Not going to break the budget there. Yeah.
And we also talk a little bit about the Rode. There were some Rode lapel microphones that we got a chance to test.
Yeah.
And they're also very good as well. The only thing you got to be careful about with the Rode microphones is you need to be careful about any signals that are coming in from the outside, because sometimes wireless lapel mics pick up everything from CB radios to police broadband to fire signals.
Yeah, so baby monitors.
Baby monitors as well.
Frequency spectrum is all over the place.
So you want to be a little careful about that too. So that's just something to consider as well. But I think it's a bad idea? Absolutely not. I think they're great. They work very well. Mm-hmm. I vouch for the Rode lapel mics. I really vouch for the Giant Squid Audio Lab stuff, because we were using that back in the early days. It's just a matter of, do you want to go wireless? Can you work with the wire? And just make sure the wire is long enough so that you're not getting too close to your interview subject, because that could get a little creepy.
Go to if you want to get some hands-on with this stuff, and I definitely recommend this whenever you're dealing with a microphone, because all microphones sound different. They will make you sound different. And you may not like the sound that you have on a particular microphone. And you go, and then you go, it doesn't necessarily mean it's related to cost. A good friend of ours, Evo Terra, said he was talking on a $300 microphone and went, no, that's not working. Went back to the, what is it, $58 Shure SM58 and said, I like this one better.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
Test them out. Go to a music store. Go to, around here, it's Guitar Center. It'll probably
Guitar Center as well. Yep.
You can pick up your cables. You can talk to them about microphones. You can try things out and see how it works for you. They're a store. They're going to have noisy environments, so that might be a good simulation of testing on the road as well.
And they know their stuff.
Yeah.
And they know their stuff. And if you tell them I'm a podcaster, they'll be like, oh, okay. So they'll know you're working on a budget. They'll know that you know enough about audio to be dangerous.
Yep.
But if you also go into, yeah, I've been a podcaster for 10 years. I've done some audio production. They're like, oh, okay. Well, then here, I'm going to try to sell you the more expensive stuff.
They respect you, right.
So, again, Jake, thank you so much for the question. You did the right thing. You reached out to us. And as always, if you want to reach out to us, you've got PFD Authors on Twitter and on Instagram. You also can reach us at pfdauthors@gmail.com. There's also our voicemail, 703-791-1701. Reach out to us. We'd love to take your questions, and yes, we will turn them into a podcast episode. So on behalf of Chuck and myself, remember that Podcasting for Dummies is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike, United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. So Chuck, anything, any parting thoughts?
Yeah. Thanks for reaching out, and we look forward to hearing from you as well.
And until next time, pod on.